Good morning, church. Great to see you as you gather today, as we come into the house of the Lord to worship. I invite you to stand where you are to greet those standing around you this morning, passing the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. It is great to see you gather here this morning. It is wonderful also to have our friends and family joining us on Facebook Live this morning. Welcome to all of you as we come to form the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus this morning. Join me in our call to worship, which is titled, An Invitation to Christ. Come, my light, and illumine my darkness. Come, my life, and revive me from death. Come, my physician, and heal my wounds. Come, and burn up the thorns of my sins, kindling my heart with the flame of thy love. Come, my king, sit upon the throne of my heart, and reign there. For thou alone art my king and my Lord. Amen. And amen. I hope that you'll take that prayer into our own hearts this morning as we come to worship, to give the Lord thanks and praise. Our opening hymn is number 698, God of the Ages. Join me there.
Glory, 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 glory
thank you for your singing. I invite you to join us in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before the pastoral prayer today, I just want to take just a moment to say a word of praise and thanks to each of you for your prayers for our family, and especially for our grandson, Jace, who is now at home with his sister and all of us who are thankful. Thank you. We so much appreciate your prayers and your acts of kindness to our family. Can't tell you how much that means to us. Grateful to God. We give thanks to God and glory to God that Jace is home. And thank you again for all your acts of kindness to us and for your prayers. They work, folks. They really do. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give God praise for life and for baby Jace and for the church family. Amen. God is good. Amen. As we come before you this morning, we turn our hearts and our minds to focus on prayer and to come before God's throne of grace and mercy. We want to be able to carry some church members in prayer, some of our church family in prayer this morning. We want to remember the Bill Godwin Jr. family, that he is the father of Shannon Brown, and we want to remember his passing and being that God will be with his family as they prepare their final goodbyes to him. Visitation for his service will be at 10 a.m. at Pinecrest Funeral Home, and the service will be at 11 o'clock p.m. We also want to remember the Langley family. Mr. Ted Langley, one of our members, also lost his father, Tommy Langley, on last week, and his services were held this past Thursday. We want to be able to keep the Langley family in prayer as they move forward in this time. We know that there is many prayer requests, there are many needs, and we know that we have an almighty God that we can go to in prayer. So let us go as a church family to God in prayer and in thanksgiving on this morning. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come this morning to just stop, to ease our minds, to ease our racing hearts, to settle our nerves into your goodness, and just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the miracles that you work in just moments, God. Thank you for remembering us in your love and your mercy, and thank you for another day to see your grace renewed for each of us. We come this morning asking that you will be our peace, that you will be our understanding, that you will be the grace that holds us in our shakiness, and that you will be our foundation that reminds us that under your wings we are hidden, protected, cared for, provided for, and loved. We ask that in our moments of uncertainty, that you remain our moment of hope, our moment of steadfast hope. And as we come to you this morning, dear Lord, we come praying for our church families, those that are grieving and mourning and giving you thanks that you have the victory in death, Christ Jesus. And as we pray for our church members and our loved ones, near and far, strangers whom we haven't even met yet that are mourning and in grief, we pray that your peace, your understanding, and your joy will walk and be with them. We come this morning, dear Lord, humbling ourselves to go into service, to give you all the praise and all the honor, dear Lord. Now allow us to put aside all things that are hindering us, all the things that do not serve us, so that we can pick up the praise and the joy of the amazing grace that our gracious Lord has given unto us. Let us hear your still small voice speak to us, guide us, walk in us and through us, as we prepare for another month to do the work that God has called us to do as faithful servants in his vineyard. We come unto you, Heavenly Father, humbled in adoration, as we say, thank you, Lord, for another day. As we come as a church body this morning, we come boldly and fiercely praying the prayer that you have taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, praying and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Please remain standing as we turn to the Holy Word of God. The scripture today comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps very familiar words to us today. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and the vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is good to see you on this rather damp and windy Sunday morning. Thank you for being here today as we look at these scriptures and this theme that has been woven through some of the themes of these past couple of Sundays, and that's related to time. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about redeeming the time. And as we look at this passage in Isaiah, we recognize that redeeming the time doesn't always mean that we are active in moving. Sometimes redeeming the time means that we are waiting. And we see that very clearly here in this passage in Isaiah, as well as other passages that we'll look at today. But let's face it, in our world, waiting is normally a very difficult and unwanted process. Sometimes we're forced to wait in undesirable circumstances. We're all familiar with the highway signs that say something like, detour, road closed. Or perhaps we're on a trip and then we see this dreaded construction sign that reads, slow down, expect major delays. And I don't know about you, but that is a dreaded sign when I'm on the highway. Many situations that we are where we are forced to wait. We wait in doctor's offices, we wait in hospital waiting rooms. Some of us may be waiting test results. We're waiting perhaps for healing to happen from a surgery or an injury or a sickness. For family or friends, there's an emotional waiting. Even for those who are well, there's a waiting for that person that we love or a friend who is sick to recover. Maybe some of us are waiting on answers to prayer or for a concern that we have given to God. That might be physical in nature, it might be emotional in nature, it might be financial, it might be spiritual, whatever that need may be, but we're waiting. In the world of agriculture, farmers must wait for the planting of the seeds to germinate and grow and produce a harvest. That can be a long wait. On a national and global scale, we are waiting to see how the conflicts in the Middle East and the Ukraine will turn out, how they will end, as we pray for the situation there and pray for the limit of the war. As you saw certainly from the news of this past week as well, our prayers attend soldiers that are there and also certainly the impact of that on the United States. On this passage today, Isaiah and the people of his time were waiting. They were waiting for the restoration and the consolation of Israel. There was an anticipation or a deep desire that for God to do something even miraculous or supernatural, just like God did when he sent the plagues over Egypt to set them free. They were waiting for God to bring back the exiles to home. Something that had never, ever happened, if you know history. Nobody, no nation ever came back from an exile, from their captivity and exile. They were waiting in anticipation for that to happen. So we think further in relating this, certainly perhaps on a lesser scale, we have waiting rooms that are designated in hospitals and dentist offices, other places that we're familiar with. And often I have sat as a pastor with families in waiting rooms, in ICU waiting rooms. So we were in the neonatal unit recently here. It would be a very emotionally difficult time. The gravity of that situation, the outcome of the situation increases as life hangs on a thin edge of living and dying in those moments of waiting. In general, we know that life is often filled with different times when we are waiting. As we think about even the analogy of birth, our grandson came 2 months early. But we know in other cases, children come past their due date, and families having to wait beyond the normal expected time of that delivery. Maybe this is God's way of telling us that we're not so much in control and ultimately must wait on God for those answers or what the outcome will be. I asked a group of men who were noted hunters why it is different sitting in a stand for hours versus waiting in a traffic jam somewhere or being detoured on the highway. What is the difference in that waiting? And one person quickly said, choice. Choice was the key. In some cases, like those who like to hunt and enjoy fishing, they may spend hours waiting in anticipation, unlike waiting in a doctor's office or in traffic where you're forced, perhaps. You're in a situation where you may not desire to be there or choose to be there, but it is out of necessity that you're there. So it brings the question, I guess the larger focus of this, why do we choose to wait if we have that choice? My best answer is we choose to wait when there is an expectation or anticipation of what might happen. There is a desired result or outcome that we're longing for. For a hunter, it would be that big buck that steps out in front. Or a wall hanger bass for the fishermen. Or perhaps those who wait in parking lots almost all night on Black Friday to get their desired gift that they want. This waiting is filled with anticipation, or maybe waiting to get tickets to their favorite concert artist for long periods of time. So there's an anticipation or expectation with the possibility of something you really want or desire that's in that waiting. So we would say from that there is a purpose or a desired result from the waiting. Whereas in many cases, like the detours, we may not see the purpose in that. We may not see the reason behind that, and it deflates our sense of expectation or desired end. And so waiting becomes drudgery. Waiting becomes much more difficult. The other side of this is, and certainly in our culture, we are conditioned to expect rather immediate action or results. After all, certainly we live in a very push-button world of instamatic production, high-speed internet. Fast food services is a part of that expectation. Amazon delivers quickly and right to your door. So our culture conditions us for a kind of instant gratification and immediate results. And when that doesn't happen, well, there is a creation of a less likelihood of being patient in the waiting. But if you look at the scriptures, you find a lot in the scriptures that deal with this word waiting. Isaiah is certainly only one of many. And I want to look at two or three of them today. They're particularly in the Psalms. There's a lot about waiting. And one aspect of this is from Psalm 25, and it says, waiting for deliverance. Waiting for deliverance. Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Note that. For you I wait all the day. As you look at the greater context of the psalm, David is hiding from his enemies. We know in different places David was running from King Saul, who was jealous and was trying to kill him. We know in another instance David was hiding even from his son Absalom, who was coming to take the throne from David. So in different situations, David is hiding from his enemies and he's looking for protection and greater deliverance. I'm confident today, even as we would apply this to the current context in our world, those in the Near East or the Middle East, those who are in Ukraine, those who are in open war zones today, are calling out for deliverance. They are anxiously waiting for a victory to happen or an end to the conflict. More personally, as we relate this to our lives, maybe on lesser scales, no less, about delays and detours that we experience, sometimes from injuries, sometimes from accidents. And we know that the healing process takes time. Recovery takes time. Whether from broken bones that require time for healing, but even during a healing process, we often may look for those things that bring about a quick fix or more instantaneous help. But more often than not, God uses a normal process of healing, broken bones and broken hearts often take time to heal. And even then, delays can happen. Setbacks can happen before that healing or restoration takes place. I wrote about this in The Contact recently. Sometimes recovery days from injury or illness are incredible learning experiences. I've known of even conversions that have taken place when people were kind of flat on their back because it caused them to see life differently than they'd seen it before. And in those situations, they could not run or hide or escape from them. It's kind of like the thief on the cross beside Jesus. He was in an inescapable position, but it was also a divine appointment. Even in his pain and suffering, Jesus was right there with him and even offering him a place in paradise. It's amazing to consider the context of that and what it might mean for us, even in our waiting that may be difficult at times. I'm doing a study on Jonah on Mondays now. And don't you know that Jonah did a lot of praying when he was in the belly of that big fish, or whale as we may say? He was praying earnestly, fervently, zealously, desperately. He was praying and he was waiting on God for deliverance to be brought out of that situation. This waiting, again, takes us out of our normal activities. And it forces us to see things differently. And I find very often is in waiting periods of our lives that God does a work in us that he could not do otherwise. Here we're waiting on God perhaps to bring us out of a forced or fixed circumstance through injury, illness, or even in war. We are waiting on God for deliverance. This is what this waiting is about in Psalm 25. The second expression or theme here related to waiting is waiting for direction. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. In this psalm, David is experiencing feelings of fear or anxiety, and we might say even depression. He's very uncertain about the situation, and he seems to be stuck. He's stuck. You ever feel stuck in a situation? What does this mean? Maybe perhaps more personally for us. When I was 18, one of the more difficult stages of my life was in a situation. My father died. We lost our home. I was not sure about the direction of my life or what the future would unfold. And I was stuck in grief and anxiousness about the future. And as this relates certainly to different situations in our lives, where we have lost a home or lost a job or we've lost our sense of security and stability. We're waiting for answers and direction and we seem stuck. Fast bound in our grief and uncertainty. It's the miry clay. And I don't know if y'all have ever been in clay before or not. I was digging in our backyard recently trying to expand our porch. And there was clay there. And as I would shovel this clay, it would stick to the shovel. And every time I tried to shovel, that clay would mound up on that shovel, but just stick to it. It was heavy shoveling with that clay. And this is like David saying, I'm stuck here in this clay. I can't be freed from it. Lord, help me in this situation. I think as well, in that situation also, it's almost like when you're stuck like in quicksand, and you've seen pictures of that, where a person is in quicksand. And in quicksand, the more you move around to try to get out of it, the quicker you sink. And in that situation, as I was in at that period in my life, it was like I was desperately trying to get out of that miry pit, if you will. And it seemed like the more movement I made, the further down I sank. But as I began to pray and wait, as I was sinking, I discovered that there was a rock there. There was a rock. There was a rock that I could place my feet upon in the midst of all the uncertainty, in the midst of all the anxiety. There was a rock that my foot was on. Not long after that, I was actually called into ministry. God's provision, God's direction came for me. I'm here today because my feet were set upon a rock. Brought me out of the miry clay of the situation I was facing. I suspect that many others of us here today can share a similar story. The Psalms often talk about God being our rock. He is the rock of ages. He's the one that we can stand firmly upon, really the only foundation of our lives in the midst of the uncertainties and the sinking sands of life. He is the solid rock. But often we find ourselves waiting in the midst of our circumstances, looking for a further direction and a firm foundation. It's here, David says in Psalm 40. The other aspect of waiting here that I would look at today is waiting for forgiveness. This is Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His Word, I put my hope. What's David waiting for here? It's a psalm of repentance, confession, psalm of hope. Note the question that he asked here. If you should mark iniquities, who can stand? In other words, how can our sins really be forgiven? How can we be absolved from our guilt and shame? Remember, David in his history had committed adultery with Bathsheba, then murdered her husband Uriah, and then other men were killed with Uriah. And David is recounting that, no doubt here, and he's saying, Lord, if you keep that record against me, I'm lost. I stand condemned. Maybe this is like the prodigal son. He squandered everything he had. Speaking about being in the miry clay, even with the pigs. In a desperate situation with no direction, the scripture says that he came to himself. And he realized he had a father who loved him. And he returned home, waiting to see if his father would receive him back. And we know how that story ends. the waiting father who loved him, received him back. David affirms that with God there is abundant mercy, or as Paul put it in the book of Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Thanks be to God. The sobering truth is, we're all sinners who need forgiveness, who need to be absolved. We confess our sins, and we wait for God to forgive. But I think that's more instantaneous in that sense. I like the great hymn that says, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." So let me be quick here in this as we review. We can wait, and we do wait for God to deliver us. We wait for God to direct us. We wait for God to forgive us. And He does, in all accounts. There's one other that I would mention today before I close. And this is what Paul talks about in Romans 8. There's a greater waiting that I think we're all engaging in now. This is Romans 8, verses 23 and following. "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for it, what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." I think the key principle here, going back to what I said earlier, is there's purpose in this waiting. Our waiting here is not empty or uncertain or in vain. We're waiting for something positive and powerful to happen. Our hope is not in vain. There's a clear anticipation of what God is going to do in the creation and in our lives more personally. If you look at that word "wait" in the New Testament, it occurs twice as much as immediately or quickly. Think about that for a moment. More things that bring life or produce life or are life-giving take time. I mentioned earlier about plants growing to produce a harvest. We wait for seeds to develop and bring about a harvest. That's a long season. We talked about this earlier in the birth analogy. Human beings take 9 months to develop. We wait the long 9 months, but the waiting brings about a beautiful life, a beautiful child, and the greatest joy we can imagine. I've said this before, that I believe in this time period we are in one big waiting room here on this earth. We're waiting for the Lord to return. We're waiting for this world and our lives to be free from decay and disease and death. We're waiting for that lasting reunion in a place where there is no night or darkness, where there is no war or hate or terrorism. We're waiting for a place where there is no disharmony in nature, no hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, no sorrow, no pain. We're waiting for the full redemption of the creation and even our fragile bodies. What do we do while we're waiting? I like the song that came out with the movie Fireproof, about a husband who was working to restore his marriage. He was waiting for reconciliation and restoration. But it was hard and difficult waiting. It didn't happen instantaneously. And the song says, "I will worship while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting." In the biblical perspective, we are living between Christ's coming and Christ's coming again. We are between the now and the not yet of his kingdom. We hold the heavenly perspective that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. And we will worship and study and serve while we wait for the full consummation of the creation. And Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. We're waiting for the fuller promise of our salvation. I'm waiting with you in anticipation of the glory that is coming. The communion today is a foreshadowing of the greater meal we will have in glory with the Lord and with our loved ones. Let's celebrate that today, even as we are waiting for the fuller salvation to come. May we pray. Dear Lord, we confess that waiting is often difficult for us. We're conditioned for things to happen rather immediately. We pray through your Holy Spirit you would help us today in this very important theme and subject, that would be worked in our lives even as we come to communion today. Whatever we may be waiting for in our lives today, may we know, Lord, that you are present, that you deliver, that you give direction, and with you, you have grace that is greater than all our sins. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in the name of Christ today. Amen.
Amen. As we come this morning, we prepare to come to the service of word and table and come together and gather at the table of Christ. Our invitation for Holy Communion reminds us this morning that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another in reciting our confession and pardon together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the prayers, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news, church. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Let's continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Well, the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I want to invite those who are going to help serve to come in these moments. The ushers will direct you, remind you this table is open to all today. Be coming to receive the elements in the center aisles, and then you may go to pray at the altar as the Lord would lead you.
hymn of response this morning is a very short hymn. I hope that it's familiar to you. In His Time, this is from Ecclesiastes 3:11, which speaks about God's time. Will you stand and join me?
On waiting on the Lord. In our season of waiting, we give God thanks that we do not have to wait alone. As we prepare to depart from this place on this morning and go out into the world to do the work that God has called us to do, a few announcements we want to keep you aware of, to ways to worship, study, and serve with us. Our Magnolia Blossom Lunch Bunch trip will take place on February the 22nd with our Primetimers group at 10:15 a.m. And take note of the deadline to register is February the 14th. We also want to remind you to invite your friends and loved ones and your family to come out and join us for our Ash Wednesday service on February the 14th at 6:30 p.m. And our Easter celebration will be March the 24th at 11 a.m. There will be fun, games, and Easter egg hunt for all ages. And we invite you to invite family, friends, and community out to be a part of that. We'd love to hear from you in the office if you have any questions or further ways to be involved in God's ministry. As we prepare to depart from this place, may we wait upon the Lord to hear His instruction as we walk diligently into the lives of the people that we will meet on this week, the conversations we will have with others, and the prayers of those who will be needed to be heard from our ears to God's lips. May we go in the peace and the grace and the goodwill of God. And until we meet again, may the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest, rule, and abide in you. To each of you, my friends, shalom, and the peace of God be with you.